This is North State Give and Take, and my name is Bobby Tryon. This show introduces you, our listeners, and myself to some of the local nonprofits here in Chico and the North State. I have interviewed from the Shalom Clinic to the North Valley Community Foundation, from Pursuit Safety to Tykert Ponds, and whatever I can find in between. So if you're interested in that, you can find those on the webpage. I'll tell you more about how to get there. Welcome to the show. It's here every Tuesday at 6 p.m., so check it out. This evening, I'm going to be doing a pre-recorded interview with the Far Northern Regional Center. And you may know, be a little more connected with them through some places like the Little Red Hen, the Fair Street Recycling, or Mainsail Printing here in Chico. But there's a lot more to Far Northern Regional, and maybe we can learn a little bit about that today. So today I would like to welcome a team from the Far Northern Regional Center. And we have Melissa Grueler with us today, and she's the executive director. We have Adam Beals, Dr. Bob Boyle, and Cher Sullivan. And so welcome, all four of you. Thank you so much for coming on KZFR.
Thank you, Bobby, and thank you for the opportunity to share information with you and the listeners about Far Northern Regional Center. Far Northern Regional Center, also known as FNRC or Regional Center, is one of 21 regional centers that serve the nine northern counties of the state of California. Those nine counties include Butte, Glenn, Plumas, Lassen, Modoc, Siskiyou, Trinity, Shasta, and Tehama. The Regional Center System is a statewide network of community-based nonprofit agencies. Regional centers develop, purchase, and manage services for individuals with developmental disabilities and their families. Far Northern provides services and supports that allow persons with developmental disabilities to live valued and productive life as welcome members of their community. So regional centers were established approximately 55 years ago to enable parents to provide care for their disabled children in their homes versus institutions. From the success of the pilots in 1969, the Lanerman Act established the regional center system includes 21 regional centers throughout California. The ability to provide services and supports in a community setting establishes the groundwork for inclusion. So Far Northern receives approximately 99.5% of the budget, of their budget, from the state and federal funding. 60% of the budget comes from the state's general fund, while 40% of the budget is provided through federal funds. Now, remember I said 99.5%. That other 0.5% comes from the generosity of the community in donations and grants. Nine counties serving as of December 2020, individuals with developmental disabilities, 8,250 people. Developmental disability includes one of the following diagnoses: is intellectual disability, cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and autism. In addition, some individuals who may have similar needs, they could also be considered, but I'm going to stop here and I'm going to introduce Dr. Boyle to discuss a little bit about the eligibility process and definition of developmental disability. Dr. Boyle?
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you, Bobby, for having us on here today. And I'm Dr. Bob Boyle, and I'm the staff psychologist at Far Northern Regional Center. And I thought I would talk a little bit about eligibility in terms of who's eligible and what criteria have to be met to become eligible to be a client of ours, and just a little bit about how that process works. So as you heard our director say, we serve people with developmental disabilities, and we serve people throughout the lifespan. So we serve very young children from just after birth to old age. So we're one of the, I think, few agencies that really get a chance and an opportunity to work with people throughout their lives, which is actually very enriching for us to be able to do that. And it's kind of divided up into two categories, from birth to three, and then after age three. So let me just briefly speak to both of those situations. We have a particular program that we call early intervention, and Cher Sullivan, who's a supervisor, who's also on this call, can certainly add anything that I might leave out because she's more of the expert in EI or early intervention. But that program is from birth to three. And you might wonder, well, how do we diagnose a developmental disability in very young children? And it's really diagnosed in terms of a delay. And a child just needs to have a single delay in a single area to be able to qualify to be involved in our early intervention program. And areas that we consider are things like cognitive functioning, social emotional functioning, motor functioning, adaptive functioning, and communication. So if a child has a delay in at least one of those areas, they would qualify for being involved with our agency in our 0 to 3 or early intervention program. And, you know, the idea is here that we want to do what we can while a child is young and while the child's been identified having a delay to hopefully enhance their development. And hopefully when we can do that, they oftentimes need less special services later on. The earlier we can intervene, the better. And so we take great pride in our early intervention program and our ability to work with young ones 0 to 3. So that's one set of criteria. And then once a child reaches the age of 3 and 3 on up to the rest of the lifespan, the criteria change just a little bit in that a person has to have a diagnosable developmental delay condition. And as you heard our director Melissa say, there's basically 5 categories of this. One is an intellectual disability, which we used to call mental retardation, but the newer term is intellectual disability. Second is autism spectrum disorder. Third is cerebral palsy. Fourth is epilepsy. And fifth is something we, in a nifty way, call the fifth category, probably because we couldn't think of a better way to identify this one. But that's for folks that may have a condition similar to an intellectual disability, or they require services similar to a person with an intellectual disability. So one of the things that is considered is, do they have one of these diagnoses? And if they do, then the person also has to have substantial adaptive deficits, substantial deficits in how they're able to negotiate life in at least 3 areas. And so we look at areas like ability to communicate, self-help, self-direction, capacity for independent living, things like that. So if a person has developmental diagnosis like the 5 that I mentioned, they have at least 3 substantial adaptive deficits in 3 different areas. And the definition of a developmental disability is that it has its origin in the developmental period, and that's the period from birth to 18 years of age. So the origin of those problems have to begin sometime in that time span from 0 to 18. So we take a look at all of those things to see if a person might be eligible after 3. And the way that an intake usually works is we receive referrals from all over, actually, from pediatricians, from school systems, from families themselves, from concerned friends, and anyone can make a referral to our agency at Far Northern Regional Center. The only criteria is that there's some suspicion of a developmental disability. And so what happens is referrals come in, they're assigned to a person in our organization called an intake specialist, and they make first contact with the family or the individual themselves if it's an adult. and gather some information, try to gather any pertinent documents that might be out there already in terms of medical exams or school evaluations or what have you. Sometimes we don't have enough information yet to make a decision. So we have vendors that work with us that are able to perform assessments to determine whether a person might have autism or might have an intellectual disability or cerebral palsy or a seizure disorder. And then once we get all that information together, and sometimes that takes a little bit of time, then we have every week we have an eligibility review team meeting, and that's a multidisciplinary team that involves myself as psychologist, our medical director, our intake specialist, some administrators. And we sit down and we review every referral that's come through, and then we try to make the best decision about whether or not that person may be eligible. And if they're made eligible, they're notified of that decision. Even if they're not made eligible, they're notified also. And then if they are eligible, then we go about assigning that person to an ongoing, what we call service coordinator, or someone who actually is the person in our agency that deals directly with the individual and with the family.
And Sherry, you're involved with kids, the early intervention.
So I'm the case management supervisor for our children's unit here in the Reading office, and we serve children. We provide the case management services for birth to 6 years of age, which does include the early intervention program as well as Lannerman services for eligible children at the age of three. We have two other points of entry for children that can receive early start services. And those areas are the established risk category. And those are conditions that have a high probability of developing a developmental disability, such as Down syndrome. And the third category are children who are eligible to receive early intervention services if they are considered high risk, often due to conditions surrounding the birth experience and prenatally, and also for children who happen to be a child of a person with a developmental disability. They're eligible to receive early intervention services.
I want to kind of go back to what Cher was saying regarding some of the services for the 0 to 3 and the what service coordinators do. Oftentimes it is connecting with parents. Parents need a safe place to be able to go to ask questions and to talk about successes of their children, and to also talk about, is this the appropriate developmental level? And this service coordinators within these units really provide that safe environment and a entryway into assessments and getting services. Cher, do you have any additional things to add on that?
Well, yeah, it's definitely about navigating that journey with the parents, of them acknowledging that something's different about their child, potentially, what's different, identifying it, and providing the supports to the whole family to benefit the child's development. And we do that through a variety of services, in addition to the service coordinator role and being that person to talk to and navigate those services. The services include specialized instruction, speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and there's other services as well. And those services are layered in depending on each child and family's individual need for those services, and then the delays and challenges that that child is experiencing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Melissa, I'm glad.
And that truly goes across the board with every individual supported. It's more than just those services that the regional center provides or funds. It's actually navigating the community of services as well as what the funded services are.
Another reason that I got interested is that I had spoken to the folks at Mainsail. I've done business at the Little Red Hen. And so that's when I sort of realized that there's vendors that are helping. I guess it's in the supportive employment kind of part of Far Northern.
There are several vendors, and again, those vendors are going from a zero and up. Some services are specifically for employment services. Some could be for socialization types of services. Whatever the assessed need is for that particular individual, we work on making a match. So if there's a need, we search our vendor listing to make the right match to meet that need. But yes, Little Red Hen, Mainsail, those are some of people that we collaborate with, that we support in meeting individuals' goals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, many of our providers are in the community and are very actively involved in supporting people. And, you know, I have to say for the community of Butte County, all of the individuals that are working and the vendors are so supportive of the people that they support. They are keys and integral parts of their lives. And it really was demonstrated through some of our disasters that we've experienced, and their support and their assistance had made a huge difference.
We'll take a break here from our pre-recorded interview with a group from the Far Northern Regional Center. My name is Bobby Tryon. This is North State Give and Take. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR, Chico. Back now to an interview with a group from the Far Northern Regional Center.
I was talking with you, Cher, about being with the families and helping them see. I mean, it must be such a huge thing for them to even accept, and then to be able to accept the help.
Right. And there's two phases for that, for the children that we serve when they come in through early intervention, and that they have to accept that their infant and toddler is demonstrating a delay in development, first of all. We turn around at age 3 and we're looking to see if these children meet the criteria of a developmental disability for ongoing services. Yeah. So it's a lot to digest in a very short period of time for these parents. And that's what we're there to do, is to provide that support and education.
And I back to what Dr. Bob said about the referrals. So the referrals, like you said, come from a variety of places, but one is just family members and concerned people that may think that a referral could be made.
Anyone can make a referral. The parent needs to consent to proceed with an intake. Referrals come from a variety of places, including their primary care physicians. It's not unusual for a grandparent to call to try to nudge that process along. Head Start and other entities also make referrals to our program.
So now this is 0 to 18. Once you're 19 and 20 years old, you wouldn't go into these services through Far Northern.
The 0 to 18, and I hope I didn't confuse things, that's the developmental period, and that's where we have to establish that one of those diagnoses is present. But our clients, like Melissa said, run the gamut from birth to 90 years of age. You know, lots of times if they've been identified at 17 to have a developmental disability, they will still have that same developmental disability at 19 and still be eligible, and they'll be our client and we'll be working with them sometimes, like we talked about, for the rest of their lives.
Got it. And that's where some of these vendors come in, where you can direct them through one of those places for some employment and those sort of things.
We coordinate with the education programs as well as our services at that time. 22 and above, then there's another layer of different services such as employment, social skills types of services, independent living types of services, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw a respite care also on there, and that's more for, well, I'm sure that's for any family that has a client.
any family that's demonstrated a need and that they require and are needing a break from just the standard daily care that somebody may need.
Yeah.
You know, and we look at the individuals that are three, and as parents, we all need a break sometimes, but it's the unique circumstances that require those additional breaks of respite.
Sure, I can see that. How is all of this funded? How does a person coming into it have to worry about that? I can't imagine.
This is funded through state and federal funds, and it's what we refer to as the purchase of service funding source. So we have our budget that is just allotted for funding of services. There is no income criteria for the majority of the services.
Okay, that's what I wondered. Are you well funded?
We do have the funding to support our individuals. Yeah, okay. We're funded well. Looking at the budget right now, if you're looking at it right now, we are okay for this year. We don't know what it'll look like in the future years.
Now, I wanted to talk to Adam for a little bit too. Do you have some people there that you're working with directly there in Siskiyou?
Yes. The Opportunity Center is a work training program.
Uh-huh.
And the idea with this, in Wairika at least, is that we're able to deal with people in the community. We have customers, we have like a shredding and a mailing contract, for example. So we go out and we pick up the mail from the hospital, it's their billing, and we go and pick it up and then we sort it and run it and meter it. So we're dealing with not only the public, but then what the customer is asking, what job that customer is asking us to do. We're providing them a service.
Yes, which when I was talking to Mainsail, that was another place down here, where they're providing a service. So they've got the customer that they have to deal with, as well as what they're doing and how to run a business.
Right.
Yeah, so that's right in Wairika?
Yes.
Uh-huh, and it's, what is it called, the Opportunity Center?
Siskiyou Opportunity Center, and we have a site in Mount Shasta too. That they are more, here we do more office based. Mm-hmm. They have a recycling center.
Mm-hmm.
And there they also deal with members of the public because people come in with their recycling and
Sure. Well, and that's the way the public supports.
Right.
By using it, yeah. I see the different vendors. I guess that you call that the Opportunity Center there in Siskiyou a vendor. So I know a number of vendors, and I try to support them because I want to support the whole system, but that it's bigger than what I realize.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Dear. Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I would just want to add is if somebody did want to make a referral, is to always get the individual's permission, and then they are welcome to call our lines at 222-4791 mm-hmm. or 895-8633 and request to speak to somebody regarding an intake. Okay. We also have a referral line, but if I encourage people to use the two main numbers to actually speak to somebody. So.
Sure. And that's 222-4791 895-8633.
Yes. So if you're in closer to the Reading office, mm-hmm. it's the 222-4791. Okay. Okay. And for those individuals out of Butte, Glenn counties, 895-8633.
And then also a website, of course.
We do have our website.
Right. So, and that's farnorthernrc.org.
Correct.
So you can get more information there. I went there and there was a lot of good information there. I appreciated that. Everyone, thank you so much for being here for North State Give and Take. I appreciate you so much spending the time with me and educating me about Far Northern Regional. Melissa Gruler, Dr. Bob Boyle, Cher Sullivan, and Adam Beals. thank you again for participating in this conversation, and good luck to you all.
And thank you, Bobby, for the opportunity. Thank you.
You've just heard an interview with some folks from Far Northern Regional Center. If you'd like more information, you can go to their website at farnorthernrc.org. And if you would like to hear this conversation again, go to KZFR, go to Programs, go to Tuesday, and go down to North State Give and Take, where you can find all of my interviews. Thank you for listening to North State Give and Take. Thank you for listening to your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM. And come back next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m., and hear a talk with Dick Corey about the Tigard Ponds.